I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to CWH and this special message from my dad, Pastor Salem. This is a time to reflect on God's faithfulness. We hope today's message, a psalm for Thanksgiving, will bring you closer to our Savior and fill your hearts with love. Have a blessed Thanksgiving.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And the first thing I have to do today is to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, because this weekend we're going to be celebrating our Thanksgiving. And we ought to be thankful all year long, but there's a special day set aside. And so our sermon today is going to be the Psalm of Thanksgiving. And we'll get to that in a minute. But first of all, I want to read some of the letters. We get so many nice letters, and then we get letters saying we like to hear the letters. And I even had one letter that says we wondered if we could have more letters and less sermon. And I sure vetoed that in a hurry, I'll tell you. But I want to share some letters, and then get your pencil and paper ready, and then I'll give you the address at the end, and maybe you'll write us a letter. And it just encourages us, and it blesses people everywhere. Now, I want you to listen to this first letter because it's really exciting. And I've never read one like this before. It's from Thompson Falls, Montana. And this is a gentleman that's writing. And he says, thank you again for your phone call on April 19th, 2015, when you and I accepted the Lord into my heart through your instrumentality and help. I became a born-again Christian, and that has been one of the greatest days of my life. I'm very active in my church and never miss your program on Sunday before I go to church. Thank you again for all your help and literature over the past 14 months. And God bless you and all your wonderful staff for everything you do for all of us. Bless you all. Now, here's a gentleman. Well, I talked to him on the telephone. I sent him literature. And he said he was interested in being saved. He thought he had sinned so much he could never be saved. And I talked with him and visited with him. And over the telephone, he prayed to accept Jesus. I helped him give me a little idea how to express himself. And he prayed over the telephone, and he's born again. And so if any of you need a little help and you have some questions, give us a ring or write to us, and we'll just help you every way we can. Most important thing you'll ever do in life is to get right with God through Jesus Christ. Here's a letter from Rapid City, South Dakota. You changed my life and my family's lives. In 1998, when I was 31 years old, I was baptized with my father and older brother. Your sermons were the words my father needed to understand how to have a relationship with Jesus. Until he heard your sermons, he didn't truly believe. Thank you for your teachings each week. We will all continue to listen and learn from you. Now, here's a secret there, saying that the messages helped him. And the reason that helped him is because it's the Word of God. And it's God that's doing the work. And I'm just the conduit, and I bring the Word of God. I preach the Word of God. The Holy Spirit picks it up and places it in your heart, and there's a response. And here's people that and this is what she says. To have a relationship with Jesus. And you have to have that relationship. You have to do more than know about him. The devil knows about him. Everybody knows about Jesus. But you have to have that relationship. You have to ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins, and he'll make you his child. And then thank him, and then serve him and love him. If you know Jesus, you can't help but love him. When I find people say they don't love Jesus, I know right away they don't know him. Look at here. Here's Canton, Illinois. I'm having a bad, bad time in my life, but I ask Jesus in my heart, and I watch you every Sunday. And so I know that some are having hard times, and I just want to caution you. When you accept the Lord Jesus, you still may have those hard times. He may take you out of them, and he might not. But what he will do is he'll give you courage and strength and hope and love and assurance. And he'll be with you in all the struggles of life. And you'll be the victor every time. You'll live through them victoriously. Here, look at here. This is Facebook message. Good evening, sir. With love from Nigeria, Africa. and this is a pastor, and sends greetings, and I send greetings back, and we do it in a second's time. I can't believe how it can happen, but it happens. Here's one more, Brookings, South Dakota. I continue to watch your services on Sunday mornings in the activity room. I've encouraged a few women to watch with me on Sunday. Well, I'm now helping you to win them to Christ. And that's exactly right. She's in a retirement home. She gets a bunch of ladies, and they get to the TV, and they worship together, and she's helping to win them to Christ because they'll get the message, and the Holy Spirit will talk to their heart, and they'll come to Jesus. So you can do that. Just tell others about this Christian worship hour and witness of what Jesus means to you. Now, if you'd like to write to us, here's our address. It's the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is box 2002, 2002. It's the easiest thing in the world to remember. And it's Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And we'd love to hear from you and just write. And if you accept the Lord during the service, write and tell us. We'll send you literature. If you want to make a gift, send that to help us. But we'd love to hear from you. Now our psalm for today is Psalm 100. It's a psalm for thanksgiving. And it reads like this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 100 is a good illustration of the right way to give thanks. And it includes everybody. It starts out by saying all the lands of the earth, and it closes with all the generations. And so this is for the whole wide world, no matter where you are, who you are, or what you've done. This is for you, and it's from God, not me. And there's two ways we want to look at it. First of all, why should we be thankful? And then how we can be thankful. So why be thankful? Well, the psalmist says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. When we talk about the Lord, we're talking about Jehovah. That God that is eternal and self-existent and eternal, and he is, I am who I am. And so it is in the Old Testament, this wonderful God. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth and brought everything into existence. That's the God that we worship, and that's the God that we serve. And he is sovereign. He knows everything that is taking place, and he has a purpose for every reason, and he's working all things for his good and his glory. And so, of course, the Lord, he is God. And then it goes on and says, it is he who made us and not we ourselves. So look at that. We know where we came from. We know a lot more than some of these PhDs in the universities. We know where we came from. They don't know. They're guessing. They're guessing. And they call it and it's a theory. They say it's a fact, but it is not a fact. It is not a scientific. Evolution is not a scientific fact, because to be a scientific fact, you have to prove it. And you can't prove anything such thing as evolution, because there is no such thing. And so here I stand. I've got over 5,000 mechanisms in my body, and they're all functioning in perfect harmony. Now, the evolutionist says, well, that just happened. All those parts came, were all mixed up, and here they came, and they got together, and some became male, and some became female. And there it is, a magic poof. You know, it's just the craziest thing you ever want to hear. I'm going to tell you something. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation, that God spoke and brought the world into existence. Every one of us is a biological miracle. We are God's masterpiece. Each one of us is his masterpiece. He's given us a separate of fingerprints. He's given us DNA when we were conceived. This great and mighty God. And the only way you can explain it is like the psalmist who said, I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works. And so then we know where we came from. Thank God that's settled. And we're thankful that we know. Then he goes on and says, we are his people. He has redeemed us. That is, if this wonderful redemption comes through the work of Christ on the cross, and he suffered on that cross, gave his life for us, and he was buried, and the third day was raised from the grave. He walked among men 40 days, and people saw him and touched him and handled him, and he ascended into heaven, and now he intercedes for us at the throne of grace. Someday he'll come back for us. This wonderful God has redeemed us. And it started in the Garden of Eden. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, were in the Garden of Eden, and they sinned. And what was their sin? Adultery, murder, gossip, selfishness? What was it? Disobedience. God says, you should not touch this fruit. They ate of that fruit. Disobedience. And that's how God has to put them out of the Garden of Eden, because there'll be no sin in heaven, and there's no sin in his perfect garden. And so he kills a little animal, and they shed their blood, and he clothes them with his coat, with his skins, and sends them out into the world. But that's a picture of the wonderful redemption. It says that we are his people. We are his people because we're redeemed, but you're not his people unless you receive Jesus Christ. Jesus said, and speaking to them, he says, you're the child of the devil. And so when we sin, there's no possible way to get to heaven. But when we accept Jesus, we become a part of his people. In the Old Testament, they were purchased with the blood of the Passover lamb. And that Passover lamb and all of the animals slain in the Old Testament, it just covered their sins. It never washed them away. But when Jesus went to the cross, the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world, he washed away all of the sins of the present, and all the sins of the Old Testament, covered, not washed away, just covered. They're washed away. And as St. John says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And we are his people, a redeemed people. We ought to be happy then, because we can just know that no matter what we do, wherever we travel, and if we backslide, he'll take us back. He'll never cast us away. And some of you, maybe today, you've accepted Jesus and you started out with him and you were happy with him, and then something happened. You were disappointed, or something happened in the church, or friends let you down. I don't know, it could be a thousand things, and you drifted away and you think you lost your soul. But if you listen, you'll never lose your soul, but you'll lose your fellowship with God. And you just ask him to forgive you, and he'll take you back, and he'll be a part of his fold. He'll be the people of his pasture. That's what he talks about the next thing, the sheep of his pasture. So Jesus Christ becomes our shepherd, and he is the good shepherd. And Jesus said in John chapter 6 when he was here, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me, he said. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. I will tell you when I'm going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die, and you don't either. Jesus died when he was just good and ready on the cross, and all everything was satisfied. All the blood was paid the price, and all of the law was fulfilled. And then he gave up his spirit. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. He gave it up when he was ready, and he took it back up the third day. That's the power that he has, and he is our shepherd, and he watches over us. And then David goes on in the psalmist. We think David wrote this, but the psalmist goes on and he says, because we ought to be thankful because God is good. He says, oh, the Lord is good. Paul talks about this goodness in Romans chapter 8, and he says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, but how will he also with him freely forgive us all things? And so all of these good gifts and all these perfect gifts, James says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father above. The devil never gave you anything that was ever good. He never did anything good but just damn the lives of people and torment the people every way he can. He is a first class louse. and he's going to be in hell forever and ever. Jesus tells us in the book of Revelation, we know it's going to happen to him, and he knows what's going to happen to him. And that's why he rallies all the people he can on his side and drag them into hell where there's torment forever. Oh, my God, you need to come to Jesus, and this wonderful God is good, and he will receive you. And I just want to take a second to say this, that you're the one, you're going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell when you die. You're going to go to one of the two. Now, some people say, oh, I'm not going to take sides. I'm going to be neutral. I'm going to be an independent. Well, that might work in politics. But Jesus said, whosoever's not with me is against me. He says there's only two. You're for the devil or you're for Jesus. And you can't be for both. So who are you going to be in heaven or hell? How can you tell? You decide. Nobody decides it for you. You decide if you're going to take Jesus or you're going to stay with the devil. And so you need to open your heart to Jesus because he's good and he'll take you. Then look at what he goes on and he says we ought to be thankful because God's mercy never ends. His mercy is everlasting. And God does not give us what we deserve. I never pray to God for justice. I don't want justice. I want mercy. I want grace. I don't want to get what I got coming to me because I'm a poor old lost sinner. And I sin all the time. And I'm sorry for it, but I do it anyway. And we sin by an evil thought, one thought. Somebody pulls out in front of you and they're chugging along in a car about 2 miles an hour. What do you say? Do you say, God bless them? No, you want to run over them, don't you? That's a sin, even to think that. And so this wonderful Jesus, you see, he's so good. He has that mercy and he forgives us and he helps us. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, that mercy is for you and that grace is for you and you can come and he's not willing that any should perish. You can come to Jesus, but I'm going to tell you something. You have to come before the tomb. You have to come before you die because after death, the judgment, and there's no mercy of God beyond the judgment for an unsaved person. You have to do it now. Do it today. Let me just tell you what to do. Just say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner, and he knows it, but he wants you to confess it. I've sinned against you, dear Lord, and I ask you to just come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can, and then thank him, and then tell somebody what you did. I did pray that prayer 85 years ago, 10 years old. I'll never forget it. And I'm his child, and I know I'll never be lost because I belong to him. And so then he goes on and he says, his truth endureth to all generations. And so it's firm, it's secure. And what he says will be the, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You run into these politicians and they're one thing one day, well, 1 hour, and then the next hour there's something else. God is the same, always the same. You can count on it. So those are things to be thankful for. Now, how do we express this thanks? Well, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Just be a happy, rejoicing person. I'm not a good singer, but I can just praise God and I can rejoice in the God. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Don't be a grump. And when you give to the Lord's work, don't be a big old sourpuss and act like you're losing your soul. That God loveth a cheerful giver. But he will take money from a grouch. But you'd be a lot better if you do it joyfully and happily. That's God's way. And so just serve the Lord, he says. Serve the Lord with gladness and be happy as we serve him. And what kind of a testimony are we? And when we say, oh, God hasn't been good to me. And oh, I said to a lady, I says, well, God has been good, isn't it? He hasn't been good to me. Poor old thing. She's long gone. That's 30, 40 years ago. And she was old when I talked to her. But she just didn't know Jesus, see? She didn't know God. If she knew Jesus, she would know that all things work together for good and that God does love her and God's helping her. He says, come before his presence with singing and all of us can make a joyful noise and rejoice in the Lord. St. Paul tells us to do that. He says, do it with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to the Lord with thankful hearts. And then we can show our thanks by recognizing God. It says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Acknowledge him to be who he is. And as we do that, as we look to God and walk with God, we become stronger in the Lord. And we become his, so that we can grow in grace and a knowledge of the Lord. Jesus prayed for us in John 17. He says, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And so we grow in grace and we grow in the Lord by well different ways. One thing is to read the Bible, read the New Testament, get the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John, but read it, especially the New Testament. Read that Bible. Get into a church where they're preaching the gospel. Get Christian friends and talk to them. Get Christian books and literature. We have, the markets are full of them. And you just need to get to and make an effort to feed that new life. You see, when we accept Jesus, when we have our, now we have a nature that's fallen. And that's why we're all open to sin. When we accept Jesus, we become a new creation. All things are new in Christ. And we have a new spirit, a new nature. And so we have the old nature and the new nature. And you need to feed that new nature with the things of God, the things that are pure and clean and right. Be a man, be close to God in all the ways. And then it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to him, not only just for the physical things about us, but mostly thank him for the spiritual things. Because only God can give you the spiritual things, such as redemption from sin, reconciliation to God, adoption into the God's family, release from condemnation. We don't have to worry about our sins. They're taken away. Rejoice because we're citizens of heaven and we're child of God and all the wonderful things he's done for us. And so then we close. Come to his courts with praise. Praise God. Praise Jesus. And you can see this wonderful Lord. When you walk with him, there's just things to praise all the time. Rave about him. Celebrate about him. Tell how good God is to you. And you say, well, I've had a lot of hardship and things aren't going well. And I'm in a divorce, or maybe I lost my job, or maybe my kids are gone bad and they're on drugs and what I'm going to do. You just go to Jesus and you give them to Jesus. And then you just lean on Jesus. And when you do that, you can praise him for what he'll do and how he helps you and how he'll guide you. And one day we'll all come to that day when the trumpet's going to sound for us and we're going to leave and he's going to be with us and he's going to walk with us all the way. And that's what David said when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Well, David, why aren't you afraid of death? Everybody's afraid of death. David said, when I walk through the valley of the shadow, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jesus is with me. Now, I want to tell you something, friend. Jesus will never be with you until you ask him into your life. He isn't an intruder. He isn't a trespasser. He's not going to knock the doors down. He says in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart, not your head, your heart. And I stand at the heart's door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I'll fellowship with him and I'll stay with him forever and ever and ever. Now, he'll never be in your heart until you ask him in. And you say, well, I don't know. It says, as many as accepted him, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And you say, I don't know how to receive him. Well, how do you receive anybody? If your neighbor knocks on your door, you open the door and say, come in. So you say to Jesus, come in. And he'll come in. I was 10 years old. He came into my life. He's been there ever since. And I'm praying that you'll pray that prayer. And then you tell somebody, and then you write to us, and we'll send you some literature. We're going to send you the same literature that Billy Graham gives to the people that come forth in the Crusades. And you'll get the very same thing, and you can get started in the Christian life. So you write to us. It's the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And while you're writing, send a gift to help us. If you think this is something of the Lord's doings, then we need to have your help. And so you write to us and you send us a gift. And we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, so everything is accounted for and is all above board. But you just ask God, dear Lord, is this something I ought to support? And then you just send that to us. We've got the address there on the picture on the screen now. Be sure to write to us. We need to hear from you. Now we're going to have a prayer. And in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church every week. And this week, we're praying for the persecuted church in Iraq. And so we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, first of all, for the multitudes of people all over the world that is praying the prayer, the sinner's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. They've asked you to come into their life, and they're born again. We thank you for that. Now we pray for our friends and our loved ones and our brothers and sisters in Christ in Iraq. And Lord, we know they're scattered about, and the children maybe don't know where their parents are, and the parents don't know where the children are, and they're suffering, and some of them are dying for you. And I pray, Lord, we just pray that you'll encourage them and help them to know they're an encouragement to us, and that we love them and we're standing with them and we're praying for them, and they're going to have the martyr's crown. And when they see you, they're going to forget all the troubles and trials of life, and they're going to rejoice in the wonderful Savior. Bless them all, Lord, and the shut-ins and the sick and the lonely and those that are at a stray, Lord, and been drifted away. Pray that you'll just help them to lean on you. Pray that the drifting away will come back, and that those on beds of sickness lean on you. We just pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we want to thank you for the time together. We just hope you'll have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I do hope that you'll write to us. Let me give it again now for you people on the shortwave. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We're going to be looking for your letter. Now, if you don't write, we're going to be looking for nothing. And so you just help us. And then we'll just plan the next week, the Lord willing. If the Lord doesn't come and we're still here, we'll gather together again all over the world at the foot of Jesus in heaven. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone, in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.